Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The scripture reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him, that he should both touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Every reader of the life of Jesus Christ has noted the love and compassion Jesus had and demonstrated toward little children. It is obvious from this passage his exceptional interest in them. People were showing their respect for Jesus by bringing their children to him, for him to bless and even to touch. Jesus has also shown a great interest in children by teaching them to love their parents, and teaching parents to properly train them in the ways of God, to love them and protect them and to provide for them. We do well to teach our children that Jesus loves the little children of the world, and to teach them to love Jesus in return. But while we can admire the beautiful sentiment of the love of Jesus for children, we do not want to overlook the fact that the children were more to Jesus than just gentle, adorable creatures to be loved and protected. In this passage, they were his chief parable and comparison with those who make up the kingdom of God. Of such, he said, is the kingdom of God. The American Standard Version reads, For to such belongeth the kingdom, and that people are to be like little children. According to Jesus, a well-conditioned child illustrates better than anything else the distinctive features of Christian character that should belong to those in the kingdom. Unfortunately, many possibly well-meaning religious people have misused this passage to teach that children are lost, and have tried to justify what they call infant baptism. And they abuse the parallel passages in Matthew and Luke. There is nothing remotely found in any of these passages to teach that children are lost, or the practice of infant baptism. Baptism is for those who have sinned, those who can hear the word of God, believe it, repent of their sins, and confess their faith in Christ as the Son of God. To baptize an infant implies that the infant is lost. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus used a child to illustrate the nature of the saved. If a child is born totally depraved and doomed and damned, as some teach, why would Christ desire that those in the kingdom be like them? If a child is lost, why should we want to be as they are? What benefit is it for a lost person to be as a lost person? Furthermore, those who practice what is called infant baptism do not baptize, but sprinkle water upon a child without his consent or his understanding. Now, there's a difference between baptism and sprinkling. Baptism is an immersion, a burial, plunging beneath. Sprinkling is one of man's substitute measures to replace and displace what God has commanded. Infant baptism is not of divine origin, but it comes from the doctrines of men, and is an offshoot of the doctrine that a child is born in sin, that a child is guilty of inherited sin, totally depraved and doomed. Jesus teaches that this is not true by saying the kingdom of heaven is like children. According to Roman Catholic history and theology, where infant baptism originated, it was not practiced for nearly 300 years after the Lord's Church was established on Pentecost in Jerusalem after the resurrection of Christ. The apostles, through whom the will of God through Christ was revealed, had been dead nearly a century before that practice was utilized. Children are not saved because they never have been lost. To be lost, one must have sinned. And sin is a transgression of God's law, 1 John 3 and verse 4. The child has violated no divine law. The child is safe until he reaches an age of understanding capacity and becomes accountable before God for his actions. Until then, they are innocent, they are guiltless. The confusion that exists among denominationalists regarding infant baptism is seen in the fact that some teach infants are so-called baptized because they are sinful, while others teach we should baptize infants because they are saved. Some Protestant churches have rewritten their disciplines that first said one thing, then said another thing as to the purpose of sprinkling infants, such as the Methodist discipline. There is no biblical authority for such doctrines and for such practices. Jesus points to children as an example, like he pointed to the lily of the field, and to sheep, and to the mustard seed, to the leaven, and many other things. He said the kingdom is like these things. They possess similar characteristics. The word suffer or permit was his reply to his disciples who rebuked those who were bringing their children to him to bless them, to love them, and to pray over them. The presence of these examples of the character of those in the kingdom did not disturb or frustrate our Lord. He is most concerned that parents bring their children to him. But this is not done by some kind of religious rite and man-made ceremony, but by teaching them his truth that the child may learn to walk after Christ. They are brought to Christ by parents teaching them and bringing them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, as parents are instructed in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. What are some of the characteristics of children possessed by those in the kingdom? First, the child was born, entering a new life. And so it is with the redeemed. They have been regenerated, born again. Jesus taught, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," John 3 and verse 3. The old ways of sin are put to death, Ephesians 4, 22 through 24. Citizens in God's kingdom take on a new manner of life, with new goals and new loyalties. As the child is born into his physical family, those in the kingdom are born into God's spiritual family. And the child is one of confidence and faith, unwavering trust, rather than of suspicion and skepticism. A child would generally believe whatever those in whom he places his confidence will tell him, without questioning. The readiness to accept whatever God says is the attitude of a child of God. He takes God's word without doubt. God said it, that settles it, and he believes it. What we can understand, he studies to understand. What he cannot understand, he accepts it anyway because God has spoken. And the child is unconscious of pride and self-righteousness and self-sufficiency. Therefore, the child is teachable and can be led. A true Christian will humble himself and will be teachable also. He will allow himself to be guided by God's Word, led by the Spirit through the Word of God. He recognizes his inability to live successfully standing alone, and is content to hold to the hand of the Savior, his shepherd, as he goes through life step by step. A Christian's dependence on the Lord is comparable to the dependence a child has on his parents, often carried, often led, not thinking himself capable of charting his own course without guidance. In 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 20, Paul wrote, "Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." Now there is a difference between being childish and childlike. Paul admonishes the Christian to be mature in understanding. There is an exhortation, however, to spiritual growth. "But in such things as malice, be like children." And how are children when it comes to malice? Oh, they so quickly lay aside guile and hypocrisy and envy. They are quick to forget injury and hurt feelings. Children playing together can have a falling out that seems so serious, but before you can turn around, they're happily playing together again. They do not carry grudges or harbor animosity in their hearts, even toward those who may offend them from time to time. Grudge holding seems to be beyond their capacity. How fine it would be if more who call themselves adults could develop this childlike quality. The importance of being like children cannot be overemphasized. Jesus said, Matthew 18:3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." We see how Jesus made a childlike disposition an essential in being saved. And how does one overemphasize the importance of salvation? Often we might consider growth and reaching maturity as going from childish ways toward the ways of an adult. But in some respects, real maturity is going from the evil ways, often found in adult behavior, back to the wholesome and admirable qualities of a child. Let us not miss the divine message of Christ. In Mark chapter 10, verses 14 and 15, "But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." Once there was a small boy who could play the piano rather well for his age. He was asked by one of his school teachers to play in the school assembly one morning. She said, "Can you play a song for us this morning?" He responded, "I can, but I won't." Do you realize that this is the way some people are acting toward obeying the gospel? Now, this little boy was not demonstrating an attitude that we ought to have toward the invitation of Christ. Many can be saved, but they won't, because they refuse to obey. We plead that no listener of these words will reject the salvation God offers, because they are too set in their own ways to follow Him. Friend, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and will repent of your sins, and confess that faith, and then obey Him in baptism for the remission of sins, God will add you to His church, which is the body and the company of the redeemed. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.